Well, I hope that you have seen what I've got on the screen behind me, that you can help. Being a school teacher, it's a lot of interesting things that can happen because, boy, can I talk. I can talk fast. Tracy Sproul says that when she is interpreting, she does not like it when I get up to lead a prayer because I talk her fingers off, because I talk real fast. When I look at this lesson, which I have had since before I left back in June to go to El Salvador, I have been thinking and thinking and thinking about what to say with this, because I look at these, and that's about half of the scriptures. We are going to fly, so get in, get your seats and tray tables set just right, because I think we're ready to take off and start flying really, really, really quick. Are you like me when you go somewhere on a regular basis? Every morning I'm on my way to school, and it's dark and early, and there are certain people that I see every single time, and I know whether I'm approaching a certain place at a right time because of one particular lady who's out walking. And I know that if she's headed away from me, then I'm probably going to miss a lot of that traffic out on Seminole Pratt Whitney. But I know that if she's reached the end of that road and is coming back, I'm probably running a little late. There's the one lady who's walking and she tries to be a speed walker and she doesn't do a good job because she's older and her body is not allowing her to do that, but she's got that walk and the arms are swaying side by side and side by side, and she's trying really hard, but the upper body's moving, but the lower body's not. And I see people that are out on a regular basis. I see the dogs is out walking somebody because they're not walking the dog. The dog is definitely pulling them along. And I see them every single day, and I can kind of tell what time it is, and there's dog walker, there's speed walker. And I got to thinking that I see them all the time. I don't know them, but I recognize what's happening in their life. So I know that about 6:19 to 6:25, this person should be somewhere on this walking. If I can turn around and do that, and if you can do that with people that you see and encounter in your life, do not they also do that back to you? Are they not able to see the things that you do and see patterns within your lives? Sure. Right now, do your neighbors look and see your car is gone and go, they're on their way to church? Because we have an influence, whether we know it or not, we influence the people around us. Those people that are walking, one of them influences me to determine to check my clock and see whether I'm on time or not. Because I know that she's pretty regular about getting out, and if she's reached that point, I'm running a little late. If we have influence on other people by looking and seeing us and what we do, and we look and see what they do, they're watching. And so, the Christian and his influence on society. Ask yourself these three questions. And boy, I hope I put that in there. If every person in the community were to live as I live, what kind of community would it be? Would you want to live in a community where everybody responds and reacts and assists others as you do? What kind of community do you think that Nazareth was because of the people that were living there? Or Bethany? And folks, I have to tell you, this lesson is one that I'm not pointing a finger out, because those three fingers pointing back at me, these are questions I have to ask. And I specifically put the word in there about assists, because I think, how much do I assist others? I've already begun to have to rearrange my thought about my influence within the community. People within the community judge the church by the individual members of the church and by the lives that they live. And so 1 Timothy 5:14, the Christian is to so live in the community that he, have you got that verse? It says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably. 5 points that would hopefully be made. Man is a social being. Man exerts a good, hopefully, influence. Well, if we want to know how to do that, let's take a look at a good example, a model church, Jerusalem. If we are able to do that, we should be able to wield a good influence, and then to ask the question again if we reach the end and to have some introspection, is it better because of me? Man is a social being. The Christian is part of a community in which they live. And I keep forgetting I have to hit one extra button there. The Christian is part of the community in which they live. 4 scriptures. And again, I told you, we move quickly through scriptures. So if you're writing down, I hope that you have time to see them. John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I wrote unto you in an epistle, 1 Corinthians 5, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. 1 Corinthians 10, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, you are disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the glory to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And 1 Corinthians 15, be not deceived, evil companions, corrupt good morals. A Christian cannot afford to go out of the world or to excuse himself from society and to live as a hermit. Things that a Christian must know in order to exert a good influence. A Christian must live his religion and practice what he professes. There was an example that I had read about a service station owner who was a Christian and had a service station, and he was working one Sunday. He refused to close it on Sundays. And he was talking to someone about how great it was at the church and all the things that they were involved in doing, and a very poignant question was asked of him. If you think so much of it, and if it's that important to you, why are you not there? You see, a Christian has to practice what he preaches. Acts 1:1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and teach. Romans. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not yourself? Thou that preachest a man not to steal, do you steal? Matthew. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you that are entering to go in. We must live what we advocate and practice what we preach. We must prove the profession of our mouth or the profession of our heart to be seen by our performance. It's kind of like when you eat into your body. It's not what we eat, it's not what we ingest, but it's what we digest that will make us strong. And it's not what we say, but what we live that makes us genuine Christians. The world is soon going to lose respect for the hypocrite, the person who is an in-name only church member. They become a stumbling block. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can't build a lot of things with stumbling or tumbling blocks. You can't build a church that way. You can't build a home that way. If you want your neighbor to see what Christ can do for him, let him see what Christ has done for you. Second, if you wish to know and practice a good influence, the Christian has to portray a friendly disposition, sort of the idea that a cold shoulder is not going to be one that attracts warm friends. Proverbs 18 reads, "A man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." The Christian to exert influence needs to take pride in his community. Just as you could see someone who takes no pride in themselves with dirty hair, dirty clothes and uncombed hair and unkempt appearance, you see that they have little self-respect. So too, if we would have the same with our lives, the lives that people see around us, unkempt yards, dirty yards, unkempt, untidy surroundings. These are things that could very much measure the impression of people in the community immediately around us, and that would be the homes that are around us. Something else that Christians must do, they must refrain from gossip. And how should they do that? Well, they should avoid a couple of diseases. Hoof and mouth disease is one that they need to avoid. You familiar with what hoof and mouth is? That's where you hoof it over to your neighbor and you mouth off to them. There's another one that you should also avoid, and it's rheumatism. That didn't do real well. Rheumatism, gossip. Yeah, great. Morning classes. My first hour class is just like you two. Got to work hard to get them going. That was the point after about 5 or 7 minutes for you to... Okay, anyway. 1 Timothy, as you can see, 5:13. And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In Psalms 15, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Gossip has never built a church. It's never built a community, but it sure has torn many of them asunder. Another way to exert a good influence must keep their children under control. As a school teacher, amen. Courtesy, respect for age, respect for property. Industrious, being honest, showing kindness, quietness. Two scriptures that would bring that point out. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Things a Christian must know and practice to exert a good influence include maintaining domestic tranquility. I'm not married, so I'm free on this one, but we're going to read them anyway. 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Christian must always be willing to go the second mile, avoiding enemy making. Matthew 5:38 and Romans 12. Matthew 5. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. That ye resist not evil, but there whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if any man will show or sue you at law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh you. And from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And Romans 12. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. To exert a good influence, another thing that a Christian should do is to exemplify the high and holy ideas of Christianity. Your speech, cursing, jesting, filthy words, idle words, gossip, fault-finding, being hypercritical. Titus 2:8 and Ephesians 4:29 address that. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. And Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And in dress, the way that we dress, and even though it mentions women in here, men should apply the same to them. In like manner also, that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Also, your temper. James 1 and Ephesians 4. James 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Ephesians. Be not angry. Or rather, excuse me, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And also in our habits. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. If we're to exert a good influence, we need to be like that light that's set up on a hill. And a Christian must be honest, living within his means. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. When a person's outgo is more than his income, his upkeep has become his downfall. If you wish to exert a good influence, practice what you profess. Portray a friendly disposition. Take pride in your community. Avoid gossip. Keep your children under control. Maintain domestic tranquility. Go the second mile. Keep to the high and holy ideas that a Christian should exert and live within your means. A good example, the Jerusalem Church. We call it the Model Church. This is where I'd ask earlier for you to have some scriptures ready, and I hope that you might have picked one or two, because at this point what I'd like us to do instead of me to read, for you to read. So what I would do is, in the same way, I would just say the verse, the chapter, or the book. In the first case, they come from Acts. Acts 2, 4, 5, 6, and not too far after that, 8. So if you were one who had your finger in Acts, you might be ready to read. So as I get there, I'm just going to call the verse out and ask, and if no one begins reading within about 3 seconds, I will be ready to read. The Christian church, the model church, we can see with Acts 2:47 that they had a reputation. Who has that? Having favor with all people. They probably practiced some of those 9 things that came about just a moment ago. They had tremendous and unparalleled growth of this church, and it gives evidence to the influence that they had in the community. And the next verses are going to be from Acts 2, 41, and then Acts 4, 4, Acts 5, 14, and Acts 6, 7. So Acts 2, 41. They were growing quickly. Obviously, the first day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls, because they were struck to their heart. But that wasn't where it ended. Because we saw in verse 47, just 6 verses away, that they were increasing the church, having favor with all church, with all people, and the church continued to grow and grow. Because it was real, the conversion that they had. Acts 4:4, and then Acts 5:14. This church is still growing. Here it is 2 chapters later. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, continue to have great and exert great influence. Here they are in chapter 4, and the number of men was about 5,000. Boy, I bet you they sang "Just As I Am" over and over and over again that night. But boy, I think we could have sung all night, and they probably did. That's a Jimmy Allen thing for those of you from Harding. 5:14, Acts 5:14, Acts 6:7. Great many of the priests. Never really noticed that before. That's the church of the day. The priest, the Jewish religion. That's converting the people who were presenting the word, who heard the word as Christ had presented. And they continued to grow. What kind of lives did the early church members live, resulting in their influence on the community around them? Well, first of all, they were steadfast, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were not in and out of duty. They were not hot and cold. They were not on and off in their service. They weren't up and down in their service. We need to heed the words of 1 Corinthians 15:58, and then the next reading would be from Luke 8. If someone would like to have Luke 8, verse 13, 14 ready. Heed the words of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to avoid what we see in Luke 8, 13, 14. Someone have that reading? Another thing that they were worshipful. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. Their worship was solid. It was real. Members of the church who habitually or for no reason at all absent themselves from the service, and the neighbors and community know when the services are being held and when the member is absent, are jeopardizing, yea, even destroying their influence for good. Such absences will have little influence for good. Such absences will have little influence in their efforts to invite their neighbors to gospel meetings, to lectures, and other similar events, and in setting up Bible studies with them. So let us earnestly heed Hebrews 10:25, which reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more that you see the day approaching. Another thing that the church in Jerusalem could be described as is united. Acts 2:44 and then Acts 4:32. Who has the reading of 2:44? In Acts 4:32, when a congregation is characterized by strife, by turmoil, by trouble, by division and such the like, and the community will know of this, it loses many years of ground in its efforts to win that given neighborhood to Christ. Two, when an individual member is estranged from a brother, and the community will probably learn of this too, he is erecting some barriers that will make it very difficult to reach his friends in the neighborhood with the gospel. From the Old Testament, two verses, if someone could find, Psalms 133:1, Proverbs 6:16-19, John 17:20-21, Ephesians 4:3-6, 1 Corinthians 1:10, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, Philippians 1:27, and Romans 16:17-18. Who has a reading from Psalms? How pleasant and good to dwell together in unity. Proverbs 6:16-19. If you sow discord among the brethren, that is not unity. John 17:20-21. Ephesians 4:3-6. I'll read that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit. Even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Philippians 1:27. And Romans 16:17-18. The influence of the community was seen in Jerusalem because of people that were steadfast and worshipful, that they were united, but they were also benevolent and unselfish. Acts 2:44-45, and they all believed, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. See 45. And they sold their possessions and good, and parted them to just the people who were in the church. They didn't go anywhere else. No. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. They were benevolent. They shared. They were unselfish. Acts 4:32-37. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. So if they were one heart and one soul, and they were all benevolent, it's a lot of people doing good. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon all of them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distributions were made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. I'm sorry. I got some scriptures mixed in together when I printed that out. So they were unselfish. They were benevolent. We have great opportunities when we're presenting a benevolent help to someone to present the gospel to them through times of tragedy, through times of hurt, through times of pain, through the four or five people that we just prayed about a few moments ago, through an incident that may be happening in a place called Southern Louisiana. I'm working with Share Florida Food Network. I'm amazed with the number of people that are coming out to help others. There's one group of ladies, about five or six mothers of children with autism, and it's hard for them to always go take care of things individually. But as a group, they've combined together, and one will go do and pick up things for the others. And so you kind of have five or six people out doing things while one's taking care of two or three children or something. And they will come with Share Florida. Share Florida has a great lot of things that can be offered, and the purpose is to bring people to the church who are coming here. One of the things that they do at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and just to put an idea out to you, they have a wonderful Thanksgiving meal that's prepackaged. Everything from the dessert at the end to the breads at the beginning and a 10, 12-pound turkey in between, and it's just one standard little price. And it's the whole purpose of what they send in their paperwork is hopes that someone may find someone who has need of a dinner and pay the $25 to order one of these, and then that your church might take it out as benevolence. There's an organization trying to ask others to be benevolent and good, helpers and stewards of others. And I see people coming through that door once a month to do that. One lady who tells others at her where she works, where they're spreading the word out. One lady at the VA who is starting to go and find individuals who need help, and she's buying a lot of things, but it's not for her. She's passing it out. When we have opportunity to be helping others, we exert our influence for Christ. James 1, 27, Luke 10, 30 through 37, and Galatians 6, 10. I'll start with James 1, 27. If someone can find Luke 10, verse 30 through 37, and Galatians 6, verse 10. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Who could do Luke 10, please? I haven't heard any stories in modern day history anything close to that. And I wouldn't expect to, because the benevolence and the caring and sharing that we give to others is not to be made public. It should be the kind of thing that's done to the glory of God. As we would see the reason, Galatians 6:10, who has that reading? According to my clock, my watch, we're about 6 minutes away from a bell ringing, and I'm about a page and a half of scriptures left, but only a few more points. So I'm going to make the last point and then just throw the rest of the things up for you to see. Another reason why the model church was effective, they were happy. And it's not popping up, so we're not going to worry with it. They were happy. You know, if we're thinking right, folks, we should be the happiest people on earth. Shouldn't we? Then quit going around being glum. I tell my kids at school, you can laugh at me or with me. I don't care. And since I made that expression about 3 years ago, I've had great school years. I've had so much fun. I laugh and joke. And I laugh at myself, at my own expense. Why? It's not important. I would rather enjoy what I do. And it's made a big difference in me in the classroom. Last year was the best year I ever had. And so far, my year seems to be started off real well. And I've watched the attitudes of the people around me just break down and just, you know what? This is pretty fun. Mr. B may, you know, I don't really know that much about what he's teaching, but I can enjoy the hour and 50 minutes that I'm in this classroom. Okay. Had a gentleman last week who did something. I had to correct him because of his behavior to the point. I gave him two opportunities, and finally I said, you know, in order to be successful, I think I need to move you up here. He was not in a good mood. But I told him, as long as you don't do anything that lashes out, and as long as your attitude is such that you show that you can become happy in the final time that the bell rings, I can live with that. And just about 3 minutes before class was over, I sat down next to him and said, you know what? I watched something happen. You were unhappy back there. You were unhappy when you sat here, but you changed. And then I watched your attitude change to where you started continuing to do the stuff I was saying. And he turned and looked at me and said, yes, and I did a bad thing back there. I was wrong. And you're right. You should have moved me, and I won't do it again. Boy, you know, I said, that was a mature thing you said. And I know that I can work with you no matter what your problem is because you've got a good attitude. A good attitude will mean a lot. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be prepared, folks. If you're a Christian, here's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It's just two little words. Rejoice. Yeah, when you feel like it. No. Rejoice when things are going well. Nope. Rejoice evermore. Wow. Philippians 4:4. Don't sing it, but you know it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, be happy. Rejoice. John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Amen. I put in the amen. But be of good cheer. Why? But be of good cheer. This world will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And if you want to flip to that verse, John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. Okay? What's that? In the world you're going to have tribulation. Oh, that makes me peaceful. But be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. As Christians, we should be the happiest people there are. Happiness, if we're thinking right, should be ours. So, here's the rest of the list. The Jerusalem church, having a good influence in the community, was steadfast, worshipful, united, benevolent, and unselfish. They were happy, but they were, and are we up there again? Let's try it again. Yeah, there we go. They were evangelistically zealous. I practice saying that. And they were prayerful, and they loved as brethren should. And they were genuinely converted to Christ. And I wanted to leave room for some questions or comments. Particular occasions that we can have in order to exert our influence. Just a few weeks ago with the lecture that we had involving silencing of God. In a couple of months, the lectureships, the gospel meeting that we held in the spring. But there's also the church time tonight and Wednesday. And just inviting them over for dinner. Or baking some bread. Which I've begun to do because someone gave me some Amish friendship bread. And I have people at school now that are going, well, if you're baking bread, I said, I'll bring you some. The model church welded a good influence. They did it during times of illness and death and personal tragedy and times of community tragedy. Community should be a better community in which to live because of the Christian that lives therein. And those were the verses that I threw for welding a good influence that I just went past. So I'd ask you the question, is this place that I live in better because of me? Well, how did you answer the questions that we had from earlier? Does the study of the Jerusalem church, does the study of why they were effective, 3,000 souls that continued to share and to love and to increase in the church, several chapters later in chapter 4, 5,000 men. And from what I understand about counting, that's not including the women and the children. That is people who have an evangelistically zealous attitude. But they did it through love and care and nurturing and helping. Thoughts. I told you we were going to fly and I had a lot of verses and I still didn't get to about 12 or 15 verses. But it gives us time with that bell having sounded and about 4 minutes left for thoughts. Input. Don't be like my students. I have a little thing with names and numbers, and I shake it up, and I ask for volunteers. So I'm shaking it up now, meaning that you know I'm about to pull. Who wants to volunteer a thought? Please, somebody have a volunteer thought. Okay. And then I guess I could have flown just a little bit or slowed down just a little. But really, there are opportunities that are out there, and we can use every single day. And like I told you, when I first started, and Bill, when you gave this to me, and I sort of picked it just before I left for El Salvador, and I really did pick it and kind of picked this date to be at the very end. But I picked it because I thought, well, okay, influence would be easy to talk about. But I have to tell you, the first four questions and the ones that I put up there, those were ones that kind of distressed me, especially the second one. Do I want to live in a community where everyone lives, responds, and reacts as I do? I'm having to reevaluate that every single day, like I told you with my students. I'm going to laugh at myself and be happy. because I've had to ask myself these same questions. I think maybe Peggy Hall gave me the Amish Friendship Bread Starter Kit to make me have to bake bread. Why? To make me have to go give some bread to people. Or make a lot of bread and eat it. And I'm not going to do that. So I think God moves in ways to say, here's your opportunities. And so at school I have three people going, I'll take some bread if you'll bake some and let me see what it tastes like first. But it opens the door.